Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening.
The first order of business is to repeal and replace Obamacare. And that was our message today, and it'll be our message on Capitol Hill. And it needs to be done.
There's Vice President Mike Pence, before he was vice president, back in January, setting the Republican agenda, before he and his boss were even sworn in. Republicans have made repeal of the Affordable Care Act their number one mission, really, since the day it was enacted, back in 2010. That project moves along quickly now in legislative terms. The GOP House has done its work, and the GOP Senate is now busy. Republicans, short of the votes for now, still behind the scenes trying to cut deals on taxes for the wealthy, on Medicaid for the poor, all to pass a version of repeal and replace. So far, more than 20 million Americans have gained insurance in Obamacare exchanges or through Medicaid expansions. Over the months, we've been hearing from many of you about your hopes and fears about what might happen to your coverage and your pocketbook if and when ACA goes away. A lot of you have reached out to us here on the show, and we want to bring back two listeners who've joined us before. Fraser Speaks and Kathy Ritterizer are back with questions about what these two competing bills might mean for them and their coverage. And Mary Agnes Carey is back as well. She's partnerships editor and senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. She's here to help answer those questions. But first, there are a lot of moving parts in this Senate bill that's still subject to deals. So let's get a handle on where things stand right now.
Well, Mitch McConnell, who's the Senate Majority Leader, is working very, very hard to get 50 members of his caucus. Remember, there's only 52 Republicans in the Senate. He's trying to get 50 to be with him to at least get on their measure as it changes and get it on the floor and debate it. He's got a lot of moderates that are very concerned about the reductions in the Medicaid program that would happen over the next decade under the current Senate plan. There's concerns about whether or not the subsidies are generous enough. Conservatives feel that the current proposal isn't enough of an ACA repeal. That's another big problem. So he's got some horse trading. He's got some room to move. The Congressional Budget Office, as we like to call them, the CBO, the scorekeeper, came out earlier in the week and talked about how the Senate bill has an additional $200 billion in deficit reduction. The thought is that Mitch McConnell may use that money, for example, to give greater funding for treatment for opioid addiction. That's something that's been very important to Rob Portman, a senator from Ohio, and Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia. These are both Republicans. There may be some changes in some of the Medicaid funding. So he's working very hard, and this is kind of his specialty, listening to his members, finding out what they need, and delivering in a way to get people to yes.
And we're going to find out whether those skills that Mitch McConnell is so famous for can bring him over the line with a critical piece of the Republican agenda. But let's turn to some of our listeners now, because so many people watch this debate and it changes every day. They have a huge amount of uncertainty with something that's really, really important to them, their own health care and their own costs. Let's hear from Fraser Speaks now. She was on the program back in March, and she told us then that she has bipolar disorder and she's been hospitalized for it in the past.
I'm 27 years old and I live in Charleston, South Carolina. My current healthcare situation is coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Personally, for me, I'm most worried about losing my coverage and my coverage for mental health services. As I understand, if this bill is passed, it's more up to the states if they want to cover mental health or disability instead of making it one of the things that has to be covered. How exactly detrimental will this be for people such as myself who struggle with mental health issues? I know that it's a possibility that it could be taken away, but I would like to know more about what are the exact things that will be taken away and how this will exactly affect people with mental health coverage.
Mary Agnes Carey, even before the ACA and then in the ACA, there were mandates, basically, that insurance companies had to cover mental health services like the ones that Fraser Speaks is concerned about. What's at stake here?
Well, you're exactly right. The essential health benefits is this package of 10 benefits that plans under the Affordable Care Act and also in the small group markets have to cover. They include things like maternity care or prescription drugs or mental health services. What would be allowed in the Senate bill if it stays the same way it is? And again, we're talking about the Senate Republican package. And this is also in the House passed package. We have to remember the House Republicans have done their own ACA reform, would allow states to get waivers from these essential health benefits to allow insurers in their state to offer coverage that is not as comprehensive. So, for example, if the state of South Carolina applied and received a waiver, they could allow insurers in their state to sell insurance packages that do not cover mental health services that Frazier needs. And so if that were to happen, the onus would be on the individual to make sure that they get a policy that covers what they need. And of course, more comprehensive coverage might be more expensive coverage.
All right. Well, let's turn to another takeaway listener who's been on the show before. Kathy Ritterizer is 58 and lives on Long Island. She's desperate for Obamacare to go away. Her biggest problem, she says, is just cost.
I am currently getting my health insurance through United Healthcare Silver Plan, the exchange. You know, I'll just give you the numbers straight up. My income is between $40,000 and $48,000 a year here in New York. I pay a premium of $714 a month with no subsidies whatsoever. I have a copay each visit between $20 and $50, and I have a $2,500 deductible a year and a pre-existing condition. This is a very heavy burden because my health has to come first. However, it's anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 a year out of what is considered here in New York a pretty minimal income, $40,000 to $48,000 a year. So it is a grave burden. My first question for any expert is, will there be, can there be caps placed on these insurance companies to give people like myself some type of comfort?
There's no guarantee in either the emerging Senate bill or the House passed bill. There's nothing that says an insurer would have caps on what they charge. The way to look at this is to think about, from the Republican standpoint, they want more of a free market system. They want fewer requirements on insurers. They want more variance in what's covered. We just talked about how plans under the Affordable Care Act have to cover this the 10 essential benefits. They don't want to necessarily make that a requirement. The hope is that if you add more freedom in the marketplace and take out federal regulation, that prices will drop, that consumers can go to coverage they need. Kathy may feel that her current Affordable Care Act plan is too generous, too comprehensive, it's too much, she doesn't need it. She'll have to look at the new marketplace, but there would be no restraints on how much an insurer could charge.
Kathy isn't getting any subsidies now, she says, and she's also concerned about whether she's going to get any help in the future.
Based on my current income and my age, can you tell me what my tax subsidies would be?
Now, under the emerging Senate Republican plan, and we've got to stress here that this is all fungible, that it could change right now. As I see it, Kathy wouldn't receive anything because her income is above 350% of poverty. So it looks like she would not get anything under the Senate bill. But in the House plan, because of her age, because she's 58, she would receive a $3,500 tax credit because of her age. And one thing we should throw out right now is in both the House passed plan and the emerging Senate plan, there's a variety of funds of money to be given to states to try to help people moderate their cost, help insurers with high-cost plans. So there may be relief in other avenues here. Even under the Senate plan, for example, she doesn't qualify for any kind of assistance. She went into the House, but there may be other methods of relief that she could get from her state.
Mary Agnes, there's one part of this debate that I really wanted to ask you about, and it's about costs. I've been listening to a lot of lawmakers go around and say they're not voting for anything unless it lowers insurance premiums. They're really focused on premiums. But premiums aren't the only game in town, right? Patients confront lots of different costs besides just premiums. Are they hiding the ball here?
Well, here's the thing. You're right. It's not just the premiums. It's your out-of-pocket costs. It's your deductibles. It's your co-pays. It's your co-insurance. It's how much does your insurance actually cover? For example, in the Senate plan now under debate, the plans would not have to cover as much to be as generous as those now in the Affordable Care Act. Under the Affordable Care Act, the mid-level plan covers about 70% of the costs. Under the Senate Republican plan now that's emerging, being developed, they'd have to cover about 58% of the costs. So the plans would not be as generous. In some cases, people who may have gotten a subsidy before in the Affordable Care Act wouldn't get one under the Senate plan. So it's not, to your point, it's not just the premium. It's all the copays, the deductibles, the total costs, and how generous that plan is. It's a really complicated mix.
Well, before we let you go, Mary Agnes Carey, let's talk politics for one second. This is Washington. Mitch McConnell is trying to get his deal. We already talked about that. If he doesn't get it, you know, people are already starting to whisper the B word in the Senate, bipartisan. It's a swear word these days, but there's increasing talk that McConnell may have to turn to some Democrats to come up with a health care plan that they can vote for, too. Is there any chance in this world that that happens?
It seems a little far-fetched right now, but you have to look, at, to your point, at the bigger political calculation. Mitch McConnell and Republicans are extremely eager to get to tax reform. They think changing the marginal tax rates, lowering them, is going to help them in the midterms, perhaps in the next presidential. Senator McConnell has made it very clear, if I can't get a deal with my caucus, I'm going to have to go to Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, senator from New York. So as this story evolves, we'll be keeping our eye on that one for sure.
Turning to Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, it might be enough to scare any Senate Republican into making a deal with Mitch McConnell and President Trump and the House Republicans. Meanwhile, people's health care and their costs hang in the balance. And Mary Agnes Carey, I want to thank you for joining us to talk us through it.
Thanks for having me.
Mary Agnes Carey is partnerships editor and senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News.